William Morrow and Harper Audio present Nice Girls, a novel by Catherine Dang, performed by Carlotta Brenton. Behold the beast for which I have turned back. Do thou protect me from her, famous sage, for she doth make my veins and pulses tremble. The Divine Comedy of Dante Alighieri, translated by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. 1. My father was growing bald. All my life, his hair had been thick and black, darker than the pieces of charcoal that I'd use in elementary school art class. But as he hunched over his toolbox, I couldn't seem to look away from the bald spot. It was slightly bigger than a quarter. He pulled out a screwdriver and stared back at my desk, lying on the floor. It was nicer than anything the school had offered. Now, its legs stood straight in the air like a dead animal's. "You need me to help with anything?" I asked. Dad said nothing. He began unscrewing a leg from one corner of the desk. When it was out, he chucked it on the floor and unscrewed another one. He'd driven to the dorm in less than 24 hours. Coming from the Midwest, it was a 17-hour drive, nonstop. Dad had probably slept in the rental van during his breaks. And when he finally made it to my dorm, Dad had only handed me a box of black garbage bags, told me to pack up everything as fast as I could. He had nothing to say to me in person. He'd barely even spoken over the phone. My room was now mostly packed, except for my backpack, my suitcase, and the desk. The black garbage bags were piled in the moving cart. I used that to block the door. I didn't want one of the other RAs barging in. Throughout the morning, I kept hearing voices out in the hallway. The walls in the dorm were paper thin. You could hear everything here. Freshmen urging each other to take a shot in their rooms, or a poor freshman girl awkwardly moaning as some boy jackhammered her. After 3 years, you got used to the noises. You blocked it all out, like the wind. But I kept hearing my name in every loud conversation or hushed tone, in the laughter as a pair of girls walked by. I didn't know if that was better or worse than the text messages. I currently had 43 of them, unopened, burning on my phone. They came from friends, acquaintances, co-workers, but nearly half of them had come from numbers that I didn't recognize. It was as if they all smelled blood and came for the carnage. The texts were straightforward. "You're a fucking bitch, Mary. You deserve worse." And what could I say to that? I didn't disagree. It was my own hands that had reached out, my own fists that had flown. The damage that I'd done to her, only a bitch could do it. Even my own father was stunned. He'd finished dismantling the desk. He left the legs on the floor and laid the desk on top of the moving cart. It looked like it would slip off any second, but Dad was already opening the door, gesturing to my suitcase, backpack, and desk legs.
"You carry those," he said,
wheeling the cart past the door. I scooped up my things and took one last look at the room. For the past 2 years, I'd lived in a small off-white box with a window and a tiny nook of a closet. I didn't mind the faulty thermostat and the muggy heat in the winters. Over the summer, I'd kept my things here even as I'd bounced far away from one sublet to another, a perk of being a resident advisor. The room hadn't been glamorous, but it had been home enough for me. Now it was over. I followed Dad as he wheeled a cart down the hallway. He wasn't moving fast enough. I stared straight ahead as we passed by the dorm rooms, then the common area. There was a group of freshmen sitting around the couches, their laptops and coffee spread out in front of them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?